Blog Talk Radio.
Care can be messy. That's why Whirlpool gives you customized care for any mess.
She just got all over me.
Simply select what to wash and how to wash it.
Don't poop, don't poop.
To get the perfect cycle.
Oh, man.
For the perfect clean. Every day, care. Whirlpool.
Huddle up. This is I. Broadcast today to D-Gib with my man Uptown Deuce, bringing you, you know, Sportsology. You know how we do it every Saturday night, you know. Deuce, what's up?
What's up, homie? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
We got some great topics to get to tonight.
Yes. And, you know, I don't sometimes, you know how the rotation is, you know, we all start, so, you know, I can play clean up, and you can start off.
Well, I want to start right off at the top, man, and Deshaun Watson and these masseuses. I want to start right at the top.
All right, so here we go, right to the show. First
now,
of all, give
me your thoughts on it first before I go in and tell you what I think.
This is the typical, you know, and I'm going to call it like it is. NFL racism at its finest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, since he want to leave, you know, now your owner and all them people down there, and that, you know, they still got slave laws in Texas, too.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being if you ain't cohabitate with a woman for 30 days, you marry. So let's just get to that. Yeah, things of that nature. And they still have you on the chain gang. So let's get to there. Now all of a sudden he want to leave. Now all of a sudden he's a rapist. You know,
seven different times.
Allegedly. Where was all this energy at, you know, when, you know, a year and a half ago?
So what you're saying is this might just be people upset about services rendered and not being paid.
No, look at it, though. It's a money grab, brother. Look, none of this is criminal. They already went. I'm going to go take some money from him. No one of these women have pressed no criminal charges. They all like, oh, we're going to take you straight to civil. We ain't worried about the criminal. We worry about the civil. We want bread out of him.
So he wanted a happy ending. Now, he was looking for a happy ending, and it wasn't happy. It was only a happy ending for one party involved.
NFL lined him up with some, hey, honey, you want to go out? Washy-washy girls.
Washy-washy girls.
Yeah,
love you long time.
Girls. Yeah,
they love you
long
time.
Time.
Okay.
And, it's egregious. And also, what makes it even more pathetic is that you wanted to believe this kid who has been a scout or has a clean record. Dabo Sweeney politics, and Dabo, you know, he got a hint of the I chew tobacco in him, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
But he politics says you miss out on Deshaun Watson, you missing out on a generational talent and a better person. Now you're raped. Now you're running around here putting fentanyl, making these girls, you know, if you like fentanyl, I love that vibes.
The black Skip Bayless is at he on it tonight, man. The black Skip Bayless is on it. 5-1-2-4-5-3-9-1-3-3. He on it tonight.
I'm totally perturbed because, no, this is the same act. But where was all that energy when Big Ben did it?
And Big Ben took it in the bathroom stall. And Big Ben took it in the bathroom stall.
Took it in the bathroom stall.
Yes, he did. Acknowledged by both parties, Big Ben and the party involved. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not going to play this game with NFL with this mockery of the little bit of money that they allegedly put to these type of situations. But where's all this? Don't we supposed to stand in solidarity? Where's the Malcolm Jenkins in the world? Where's all these people that had all that rent? Ain't got no rent.
Because they know the NFL stands for not for long.
Exactly. So, again, I said this 3 years ago. And Brother O, love you deaf, you'll be a testament. With this, and me and the good brother, Hooney Vakatoon, and Sister Bessie said, I love her to death. The league is 85% black, right? 85% black. Okay?
Yes.
So, wouldn't it be lovely is lovely day in the summertime, first NFL game, when after they sing that national anthem, everybody that's on the team hit the showers. We ain't playing till y'all change it. Because then Pepsi's pulling out. After 3 weeks, Pepsi's pulling out.
Yeah. They that's the reason they don't have guaranteed contracts. They don't stand in solidarity. By enough.
They don't stand in solidarity. Like I said this before, and this is a testament, and I don't Balco boy is Balco boy, but he got them in check in the NBA. They in check
because he understands something. One of his favorite homies in the world, Hov, said he's not the businessman. He's the businessman,
man. So and I said how it could be done. I gave everybody the blueprint. Okay, so Aaron Donald, say I'm going to go to the Rams. So Aaron Donald, high contract boy. See Leonard Floyd, high contract boy. All them high contract boys that's over there, you take care of the young pups. Look, dog, I'm going to pay your bills for you. Where you living at, you know what I mean? We might be down for 3 months until we get this right. Don't spend this bread. I'm going to give you some bread for you and your family. You know what I'm saying? And if each team did that with a high power contract from the black athletes, now everybody can stand in solidarity and get off that field and start making some changes.
Well, I heard that was presented at a players' meeting a couple years back by Richard Sherman and a couple other guys who are high, you know, contract guys, like you said, and dudes started looking the other way, like, well, I got 4 baby moms and 10 Rolls Royces, you know, and I just got in the league, so, you know, I need to get paid. You know how these dudes come in, they 8, they 22, right. They ready to take care of the whole neighborhood.
It should be a cap.
And the 3 baby moms support it.
Right. It should be a cat. We'll do everybody. It should be a fun. Like all the players should have a union without another union. If you get where I'm going with this.
Right.
Whereas though it's a kitty. So all these goofies that do got baby moms and stuff like that, they get taken care of a little bit, not more, not better, but we understand their plight of their situation. You understand what I'm saying to you? But
yes. Yep.
The bottom line is, brothers, y'all got to get off that field. Y'all, it's going to keep happening to us. Every year is something goofy. Every year is something goofy going on. Every year. They show us that we are nothing to them. And all, and I, you know, much as I love football, I don't like the politics that's behind it. I don't like Roger the Dodger Goodell. What he did to Ray Rice was egregious. You told that
so
man,
saying,
all right?
You not feeling the cattle drive, that's the NFL.
Oh, the cattle drive is ridiculous. And you get a little bump on you. You are now... You know how it is. You know what they do in store. You know in the clothing store when it's a scratch on the shirt. You're irregular.
Can you pull scratch
on the car? We got a little feedback in the background, but under us, you are called irregular, and you're labeled irregular. So now you're gonna put a tag on him that he's a can. Now all of a sudden, I bet you some other ethnicity is now going to say he's a cancer in the locker room, too. Mark my words, next week he's a diva.
He's a bad guy.
He's a diva.
He's horrible.
Now. He's a diva.
Yeah, he's a diva. It's horrible now. This is why everybody wanted out. Yeah. Okay, it's going to be, everything's going to be his fault. Everything's going to be his fault. All of a sudden.
So, NFL, shame on you.
No, NFL Players Association,
nobody.
Same on you. The NFL,
I
got to
come over this. I got to come over this because this is real, what you guys are talking about tonight. Deshaun Watson exercised his privilege as a man and said, look, I don't want to play down here in Houston if you're not trying to win. I want out. You know, I want a better chance. You know, give me an opportunity. And whoever he made mad turned on him in – like what coach always says, egregious fashions. And here's the situation. Now, this week on Monday, before all this really got crazy, when he only had one person, right? The Philadelphia Eagles were looking to give everything, all their draft picks, to get Deshaun Watson, which I thought was crazy in itself. The Eagles need to go ahead and draft at six, that sixth position in the first round, and get that guy, Kyle Pitts, from the University of Florida. What that does, it gives your guy, Jalen Hurts, a chance to be great.
Yep.
Because you always need a pacifier in the mouth when it comes to a new quarterback doing its thing. I remember Chad Lewis for Donovan McNabb. You remember that in 2000?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you have to have that tight end in the scene. But let me explain something to you guys. Kyle Pitts is – his style of play is like a Kellen Winslow. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? This guy can be lined up. Now you look at Travis Kelce. And how they line him up, or Rob Gronkowski. Both of them could not even beat this man in a race. So imagine the Eagles putting that guy out there, you know, at flanker, you know what I mean, at middle end, and at tight end.
Yeah.
And you have a great ball player with a Dallas Goedert and a slow, because I can run faster than Zach Ertz right now at 50 years old. You got those three people out there, you know, playing in that tight end position. Listen, I said this many times, and I'm not an Eagles fan, but, you know, but we're going to talk real stuff right now. The real McCoy is the Eagles are always great when they have great tight end play. They draft Kyle Pitts. He is a cowboy killer, Mr. Automatic Charismatic, if you're out there listening. I know you are.
Oh, God.
He's a Cowboys killer. You know what I mean? Now, you got achy, breaky, brookie Dak that you signed to this money, and he deserves that money. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I called, you know what I mean?
I called it
the Mississippi Purchase number three. You know what I mean? Dak Prescott got his money, and I'm so glad, you know, that he got his money because he earned it. Okay, he earned it. But, however, you look at Deshaun Watson and the situation. You know, Uptown, you know, I was waiting for your feedback on this conversation. When you do dirt, you get dirt. All the
Absolutely.
Folks, Deshaun Watson was at the rookie symposium when he came into the league that's headed by Chris Carter. Am I right? And he said, listen,
yes,
guys,
sure.
You know, mind your business. And when we say mind your business, that's not a negative term. He says mind your business, which means at the hand, you're trying to take care of your family.
Right.
Okay? You're trying to make sure mom is okay, because a lot of times, you know, these kids don't come up with fathers. You know, they're not like, Uptown, you a father?
No. But I ain't come up with mine either, so I know.
Right. But I want to say this to the fathers. Not knocking you, but you understand I'm about to go there. With Derek Gibson is a father of triplets. I am the antithesis. I have, you know, one child. But being a great father is being there and setting an example. But, okay, a lot of times we don't have that example to be set, and moms are strong out there. Thank you to all the single moms. But understand that now you want to take care of mom. You want to make sure mom is okay. Did you forget why you got into the league? You got into the league to take care of your family. Mind your business. Now,
when
you go out there with all these extravagant parties, okay, and now let's go to, I understand what you guys are saying, but let's go to the Deshaun Watson situation.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the women, okay, were not part of the massage game. They were part of, you know, put your cell phones in this bag. Don't say nothing about what's going on in this party. We got to have a good time.
Okay.
So they're always, if you learn from the movie, you know, and that's just elementary, because we already knew that before the movie came out. But let's go to the elementary. Let's go to the first grade. Judas and the Black Messiah. There's always someone in your camp that's going to tell you and go back to the man and say, this is what he does. And then all of the, the athletes out there, listen to Olasky tonight. And if you don't listen, you're going to fall into that trap. There's always women that's going to set you up for a fall. I am the CEO of this network, and let's get back. Now I want to hear from Uptown Deuce and his pronunciation of this travesty. I'm gone.
That was Brother O, CEO for the network. Always great when you chime in. But it's really what you guys said. You know, that McNair family, they, you know, we just going to call a spade. The McNair family is racist. Bob McNair, he's a car-carrying MAGA member. He was a car-carrying MAGA member, and so are his children. And that's who run the organization. So once this cat came out, who has been a franchise player, besides J.J. Watt, he's been a franchise player in the quarterback's league. So Deshaun Watson basically been a franchise player since he walked in the door. Said, oh, no, I don't want out. What's going on here is what my man D. Gibb would call egregious. Is what's going on out here on the field, which I'm putting around me. I want out. I'm ready to go. And not only am I ready to go, I'm ready to go to New York. I'm going to New York Jets, which are coached by a black man now, Robert Saleh, former defensive coordinator of the 49ers. So with that being said, he was ready to go. So all of a sudden, now it's time to dig up dirt to do what? Depreciate his trade value, so now you can't go anywhere. Now you're stuck here. Because one thing the NFL owners don't want to do, in the NFL is make it like what you call a Balco boy in the NBA, where it becomes a player's league and they just start dictating where they go. That's what they scared of the most. They scared of that more than anything. They do not want these millionaires telling these billionaires, oh, no, I'm not playing for you, I'm going here. No, I'm not playing for you, I'm going to play with my homie over there. No, I'm not playing for you, I'm sitting out, I'm going to play with my man over there. They scared of that more than anything because they know that means not so long for them. Once the players, once the inmates start running the asylum, you know what it is.
Look at Le'Veon Bell, who can actually absolutely play this game. And there's no type of depreciation in his physical talent. Look at what they did to Le'Veon. He went to Kansas City and got no ring. Now, there is a, you know, oxymoron to the situation. How in the hell did Antonio Brown get one?
There's something to be said when you cool with the, when you cool with the quarterback who's a car carrying MAGA member. Go ahead, floor is yours.
A car carrying MAGA member.
Go ahead, the floor is yours.
A car carrying MAGA member.
He had the hat in his locker until somebody told him that might not be cool for PR. So somebody told him that might not be cool for PR.
And a known cheater. The freaking balls.
Dang, it's cold as heck. It's cold as heck. I'm going to flick these balls. Tight grip. Wonder why he's throwing 40-yard strikes downfield with a deflated football in sub-zero weather. I'm tired of that.
So, you know.
All my text messages. You can't
this is how,
phone.
You know, this is how dudes like Antonio Brown get it, even though, he, you know, he played his way out of Pittsburgh and dudes like Le'Veon don't. It's all about who you know.
Look what Chip Kelly did. Yeah, look what racist Chip Kelly did. He called Deshaun Jackson a gangbanger with no evidence. Oh, he's a gangbanger. We got to get him out of town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Shady, you like to talk back? You're out of here, too.
Any black man with an attitude must go.
Well, wait a minute now. But Deshaun Jackson stood up for, you know, that was Chip Kelly's move, and we know that was negative. But what happened with this, you know, with LeSean McCoy, it was crazy because, you know, he didn't give the right tip. He was treated bad in a restaurant, and he gave a dollar tip. And they said, well, how can a millionaire do this? He was standing for his civil rights, and that's why he was exited out of Philadelphia. Remember? You guys remember that? You know,
yeah,
and then Macklin being the friends, you know, Jeremy Macklin being the friends of both of them, he was exited. And what you said is true, man, because when it comes down to, you know, what Jim Brown said all the time, you know, I don't want them. Jim Brown, the great Jim Brown said, I hate it when they cheered for me in Cleveland. Because they weren't cheering the man. They were cheering the athlete.
Absolutely.
They didn't care about me being, you know, after the game, what I went through. You know, that movie, A Night in Miami, is a great movie. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And hopefully, you know, of course, you know, Amazon Prime took it off, whatever. But that thing was a moving situation. Malcolm.
I didn't even see
Muhammad.
Malcolm,
Muhammad, Jim, and the great Sam Cooke, Mr. Yeah. Wonderful. You know what I mean? That one night in Miami meant a whole lot. You know what I mean? Call in, y'all, 516-453-9133. You know what time it is. Only Dynasty is fantastic. But it's amazing. You know, you look at all of the greats that stood up. You know, Nicky Morris stood up in Miami, but what happened was they knew he had a cocaine habit.
Yeah.
They ruined him.
Yeah.
Look at David Overstreet. Let's go there. Yeah, I went there. You know, Derek the Coach Gibson. David Overstreet was upset about what happened to the brother, the Marine that served in Vietnam, served his country, you know what I mean, was pulled over by the police, was shot. David Overstreet said, look, this is wrong, and people in Miami need to stand up. It was kind of hard, you know, to understand why David Overstreet died in a car accident, huh?
Right.
Hmm? The great David Overstreet, Miami Dolphins. And when he died, it's funny that Miami made a Super Bowl in the 1982 season, huh? Without a David Overstreet. Did you hear what I just said? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? So you look at all of the greats. Derek Thomas, was a fixture in the not only the Kansas City area, but the state of Missouri. He was giving money to underprivileged children of all races. Of all races. And he was somehow killed on a highway. Going to the, trying to get to the airport to go to the Pro Bowl. So all the men like them that died for the cause, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm utterly grateful. You know, they will destroy you if you stand up for who you are and the type of person that you are. Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys gives so much to St. Jude. I'm a person that gives to St. Jude Hospital. That's the only charity that I give my money to immensely because I'm trying to save these kids from cancer. And Dak Prescott, you know, for years was denied a contract. And it took him, I guess, to break his leg, break his ankle in two, that he reset on the field and showed his, you know, we talk about a lot of times, you know, Dak Prescott as a ball player and all that, and I get it. I understand that. You know, oh, you know, Dak is whack. I get that. I get that, coach. But the man that grew up in Mississippi that understood what his parents and his grandparents told him about how things were, and a third-round draft pick becomes, a, you know, the quarterback of a so-called America's team, I love me some Dak Prescott because he stands up. He gives to every organization, guys, that helps black people, period. Dak Prescott should be on every kid's wall to have be a standard of what a black man should be. I'm going again.
He still didn't deserve the money, but I got you. He went to the NFL Man of the Year award. He didn't get the money. He didn't deserve the money, though, but he gets the NFL Man of the Year award. But go ahead.
In the words of Mel the Cop from Scarface, whoa, let's not go too far, Tony.
Disrespectful. And since you're so disrespectful, here comes Automatic Charismatic to get your ass back. Hey, Automatic Charismatic, you hear him talking shit?
I hear him talking shit about my quarterback, talking about he don't deserve the money. No, you know who don't deserve that money? Matthew Stafford don't deserve all that shit, all that damn interception that he has thrown.
He ain't get it.
Time after time, giving the ball away to other teams. You know, Matthew Stafford don't deserve that money.
He ain't get it. Dak got it. Why Dak get it? He got as many rings as Matthew Stafford. Why he get it?
Matthew Stafford. Come on, man.
Matthew Stafford. If anybody's back, it's Matt. Why he get it?
I'm just understanding why everything got to be turned into a Rams conversation.
Now, well, you know, we'll say it like this. You know, Matthew Stafford has been in the league longer than, you know, Dak Prescott. And since you guys are always talking about how black folks should be able to get money and be able to be more than even, y'all guys are hypocrites. Both of y'all,
no,
I'm not telling Deuce and Coach are hypocrites about the possessions. Oh, Dagger deserve the money. Y'all full of shit. Y'all full of shit. Y'all full of shit.
No. I'm still old school. I still believe that sports is meritocracy.
Y'all full of shit.
Y'all full of shit.
Hold on. Let Automatic Charismatic talk right now. Y'all full of shit. Go ahead,
Arno. No, I never do that. Please, we play the tape. I say, oh, the guy should get it because he's black, but he whack. No.
Y'all full of shit. Hold on. I'm going to say this again. You know, y'all always talk about a microcosm, you know, of all, you know, of social situations and sports combined, right? A microcosm, you know, whatever. It gets to the point where you guys got to stand where you stand. You say that Dak don't deserve the money.
But Orlando, Dak got more money. Dak got more money than Matthew Stafford. Okay, his contract was optimized. Michael Cousins, you know, of all the things that you say, and like I said, of you know, social justice or injustice, no matter whatever it is, Dak got the money, and it's okay, guys. Remember it.
I'm going to live with it, but I can't do nothing about it. But whether he deserves to have Mahomes money is a whole nother
You said Matthew Stafford to Dak Prescott, Michael Cousins, what we are talking about, social justice. Dak gave his career to the Dallas Cowboys, and he should have got the contract before he got hurt. Didn't we say that last year? Coach, didn't you say that last year? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Not that contract. He can get a contract, not Mahomes' money.
You know what? Let the brown boy live. What's wrong with you? Why are you talking like that?
That's what we do. So we just, you know what, then? We all just going to get awarded just because we brown. Well, can I get $1 million because I'm black then? And I'm talking to the radio. I don't need $1 million.
Get drafted and get the money. Go ahead, Otto.
That's what we
do.
Can I make a quarterback? Just tell me that's what we do.
Can I make a catch for my quarterback? I like Carson Wentz.
Make him a catch for Mahomes' money, please.
Carson Wentz is sitting on the bench. He's not going to care.
What do Carson Wentz got to do with this boy getting Mahomes' money?
I'm talking about Philly. It's saying Carson Wentz is so better.
What Carson Wentz got to do with that
Let me say what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Dak got the record for the most completions.
Oh, man, you keep talking about this one stat this guy got.
If you want to go ahead with your passion.
Go ahead, man.
Joe Montana in the West Coast office was doing short passes because that's what the West Coast office was. Short passes and your wide receiver could break it and take it all the way. Rams quarterback was throwing mostly short passes. I've seen the great Aaron Rodgers throw mostly short passes to get the first down. So if you want to talk about Deacon Dak, there's a lot of Deacon Dak with other quarterbacks.
Listen, I'm going to say this right now. Ain't no Rams quarterback going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? You know, the last Rams quarterback that made the Hall of Fame, okay, was Norm Van Brocklin.
Okay, and you said the same
thing. Okay, and that was in the 50s. That was in the 50s.
He's playing out a contract that he got already. What do he got to do with Dak getting his money?
No. That was Uptown talking.
Ain't nobody answered that yet.
Listen, I'm going to say this right now. Hold on, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. Matthew Stafford, poor man's Bobby Lane. He's a poor man's Bobby Lane, and Bobby Lane got a championship. Listen, Matthew Stafford, on to gunsling, you know, at the bar, we got beers in his hand. Okay? So, trust me, coach, you already know it. Matthew Stafford ain't going to change your position there in Los Angeles. You still are not going to make the Super Bowl. And how about this? Watch this, Uptown Eagles fan and Dallas fan. Coach, I love you. You know, you are a coach and you are, you know, wonderful sports director. Let me explain something to you. You will never see a championship when the NFL said that they don't want, you know, the Rams winning it. It took a bad call in New Orleans for you to get to the championship anyway. I'm going again.
That pass interference was bad.
We know that. But did y'all look at the whole game in totality? Obviously, y'all didn't. Did y'all see the call that they missed when Jared Goff got his face smashed, kicked around the first round the goal line?
Listen, that's group ball. Who cares about group ball?
That's not him.
No, trust me. The league showed it. The league showed it when Jared Goff got to the position. No. When Jared Goff got to the position to win the ball game with a athletic running back that couldn't even start the Super Bowl, you already lost it. You lost it in game day. You lost it in the whole NFL week. They knew that the Rams were going to lose. Because guess what? But no, I'm going to tell you what you did wrong. I'm going to tell you what you did. All the folks that bet against Tom Brady, y'all stupid.
Okay.
Jared Goff
was disrespected by his own franchise and traded because he couldn't make the grade in the second largest market in the nation. Coach, you're a fraud. You're a hater. That's who you are, and I love you.
I'm going to tell you like this. I'm going to tell you just like this. Y'all talk all that, and we ain't had a losing season since our new coach been here. I can't say the same for neither all three of y'all teams.
Hold on. I'm going to ask you a question. When you get to the Super Bowl, that's the worst disrespect when you can't win the big one. It's better for you not to make the playoffs or be in the playoffs than to make the Super Bowl and be a laughingstock. Your Rams team was a laughingstock.
Okay, so Kansas City got punched in the mouth in the Super Bowl, but they whack, huh?
Listen to what I'm saying to you, Patrick Mahomes. Hold on, Uptown Deuce, you there? Are you there, Uptown Deuce? I said this a month and 2 weeks ago. Okay, listen. I said this a month and 2 weeks ago. Patrick Mahomes will never be the same again. Patrick Mahomes now understands for the first time since Little League, high school, the nut ass thing that he went through with Texas Tech, you know, him being, you know, picked by Andy Reid to come. He will be always a talented quarterback, but he is scarred for the rest of his life and the biggest stage of his life. And he was hurt and abused, and that's going to hurt him. He's not going to be the quarterback that you think he is. I heard people on this Huddle Sports Station tonight bring up Patrick Mahomes. He will never be the same again.
Man, you out of your mind.
Okay. I've been out of my mind when I used to tell people, when I was out there in 86 and I told people that Mike Tyson would be the heavyweight champ of the world, and they told me I was out of my mind then too. So ain't the first time, Coach. And you know, it's wonderful. And listen, Matthew Stafford is not going to change your position. It's not.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Eagles right now. Let's talk about the Eagles right now. Our Crown Deuce understands that if you fuck this damn pickup, you're idiots. The person, the Cowboys killer. Yeah, I said it, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. You better hope to God that the Eagles don't pick Kyle Pitts for the University of Florida.
I'm picking the Bulls Devontae over him.
No, because Devontae Smith is not Henry Ruggs. Devontae Smith cannot run a route. The best route runner in the draft is Jamar Chase.
Maybe so.
And Miami, study football. Coach, study football. You got Will Fuller that's an outstanding two. Okay, you got Devontae Parker down there in Miami, and you add Jamar Chase to that? Really, man? Really?
They're going to be garbage.
I'm through with y'all, man. Listen, I'm just a CEO, and this is your sports show. Go ahead and talk y'all shit.
So, Deuce.
Yes, sir, bro.
I'm trying to find out what makes this man get Patrick Mahomes money, and he ain't did a goddamn thing.
We ain't heard that answer yet. We ain't heard it yet. From a Cowboys fan, from a Patrick Mahomes, that ain't going to be the same.
So now we going to be racist because they racist. This is what we talking about here. I'm talking about solidarity. To get changes so the league there's a balance of non inequality in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about because he's black he should get the money. I don't care if he was Dak Prescott don't deserve no goddamn Patrick Mahomes money. He ain't did a goddamn thing in this league. Am I happy he got the money? Yup. But don't not act like he deserves it.
Wait. That's oxymoronic. No. You got to stand by what you say. You cannot be happy that he got the money. Come on, man. Stand by what you say. You might be saying, I'm upset about he got the money. How the hell you going to say you were happy about the money and complain about it?
I'm not upset that he got paid.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. This is a Huddersfield Nation. That's bullshit. No, that's bullshit.
How? The quarterback.
Because I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Hey, listen, Otto, I got you. First of all, he played Jerry Jones. And any person of color should be happy and astounded that he got the money. Now, Patrick Mahomes is talented. He has a ring and all that. Okay? However, his coaching style, you know, the coaches that had, you know, behind him was not ready to put him in the best position. First of all, Kansas City's offensive line was shit. And they put that poor man to be killed by that outstanding cover two Tampa Bay defense. Okay?
That defense,
and that's going to play on his mind.
That
now, we all know that.
They ain't got no feedback.
Listen, man. And that one game, it was a linebacker that won the game, right? Am I right?
You know why? You want to know why?
Oh my God, man. It's one game. Listen, man.
Look,
you always say
NFL is
not for love.
So we're not going to blame Andy Reid with two sub tackles, and you out there dropping this kid back 45 times? You're going to give Andy no credit for that.
Listen, man, this is football, right? It's for men, right? So will he be the same quarterback? No. Will he be good in
this
league?
The same.
Yes, he will.
Is Dak Prescott going to be the same quarterback after he whacked his ankle up?
Let me tell you something. If Alex Smith could come back from an injury like that, almost death.
And do nothing. I don't care about.
Actually, he did.
Alex Smith did nothing.
Actually, he did, man.
He got on the field. They gave that man an award. That's another egregious award to give it to him.
No, it's not, bro.
He did nothing. Alex Smith ain't go for 55 yards at one. He ain't go for 70 yards. His stat line was trash. And they gave him
that. Here's the situation. Alex Smith played hard, he played efficient, and he won the comeback player of the year. You talk about Dak Prescott, who only broke his ankle. And now you is a hater of Dak Prescott when he was healthy. And
I never liked the money.
Okay, I know that. I understand that. And he's a better quarterback than Goofball, who got traded from your team that didn't believe in him.
That's yet to be proven. He ain't won more playoff games than Goofball. He ain't been no Super Bowl, so we can't give him credit for being better.
I'm gonna give you the credit. You know why? Because
Steph, the world ain't got nothing.
No. We're not talking about basketball. We're talking about football. You're talking about Jared Goff, who went to a Super Bowl and lost it egregiously. Okay? We're talking about a person like Dak Prescott, who had 13 to 3. He was the first place loser.
Okay.
That's the worst loser.
You don't give McVay no credit that he got outcoached by Belichick, what you said?
I'm going to tell you that McVay had the wrong quarterback in the Super Bowl. And all his great planning and all of his great, preparation, he had the wrong quarterback. He was the epitome of deer in headlights.
We're not going to keep
Now, even though he had a pretty good year last year. Now, think about that there, Coach. He had a pretty good year last year.
He had a trash
and
year
still,
last year.
And he still, and listen, he has a pretty good year. No,
he
wasn't trash. Because now you're talking shit.
I know my team. He had 13 interceptions, 5 fumbles, 3-4 interceptions in scoring position. That's not good.
I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. How many touchdown passes did he throw last year?
He only threw 21. That's not good.
Okay, only for 21. 12 and 13, right? But he came off a legacy of Super Bowl, right? And he was still traded.
21 and 13, and you keep throwing. You get strip sacked. Your quarterback awareness is not there. You're missing wide open targets. You target locking. Get you out of here. What you talking about?
You ready for this? You ready for this? Didn't he do that in the Super Bowl?
No. In the Super Bowl, they was all over the short routes. It was all over. They had a game plan.
No. I'm asking you a question.
It was all over the short routes.
You brought up a good point. You brought up a good point. It's all relative. Okay? It started with the Super Bowl loss. And then he was in the hot seat. And he didn't come up to par. And that's why he was traded.
Okay.
He told you he was garbage when he had that great year in 19. He still managed
to beat Seattle with a messed up thumb in a playoff game. How about that?
That's my point. I think he had a pretty good year. But you said he was garbage.
He didn't have a good year. He had a good game.
No. You talking about the valor of Jared Goff, right? His valor was, I had a broken thumb, and he did well. But, however, the Rams organization said it wasn't good enough, and he was a goofball, and he got traded.
It's not good enough, but why are we keep attributing and going back to him? We're not talking about him. I'm talking about Wack Prescott getting money like Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, first of all, Dak Prescott deserved that contract before he played any down last year. And we talked about that, and you said he deserved it, and it was egregious. Right? Okay. He had a team that was 3-4 when he got hurt. Okay? He was out there, and matter of fact, he was the best offensive player on the Dallas Cowboys team, and he was trying his best, and he got hurt. Now, understand that if Dak Prescott would have played the whole year, Dallas would have won the NFC East last year.
He'd probably
have
5,000 yards
passing. I was still attacking my quarterback.
I came back
to get a little drink.
Mm-hmm. Don't stand for that, Otto.
He ain't win a goddamn thing. He ain't win a goddamn thing in this league. Y'all keep piping up that Wack Prescott.
No, piping anything. We just said that he deserved the contract. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Right now. Who deserved that contract at the end of last season? Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott?
Neither.
What, last year?
No, don't give me neither bullshit. That's bullshit. Dak Prescott deserved that contract before Ezekiel Elliott.
Y'all basically telling me he deserved the contract because he's black. All right,
No. That's not what we're saying. That is not what we're saying. No, first of all. No, what's going on? That's foolishness. You just brought up a point. You just brought up a point. You said because he's black. I asked you between two black men. What y'all talking about, man? Y'all good? Y'all okay? Are you guys okay? I said, who deserves the contract between Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott at the end of last season. You're talking about black.
I said what I said. Okay. So let me ask you this question.
After last season, was it Dak or Ezekiel? Answer that question. You can answer any question. You ask any question you want.
Dak should have got some quarterback money, but not what he getting. And I'm gonna ask you a real question, and I want to hear you say this, because if you say this, I know y'all on some formaldehyde. Dak Prescott deserve more money at this particular junction, because my young boy coming up than Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Lamar Jackson cannot quarterback in this league. Lamar Jackson is a talent. He still has to progress. I'm going to ask you a question.
MVP of the NFL. So if he can't.
And what did he do last year?
How did he do it?
What did he do last year?
He still had a good year. It wasn't MVP.
That was a good answer. However, you know, Dak Prescott got the money that he should have got in the end of last year. Go ahead, coach.
He deserved more money than Lamar Jackson. Are you serious?
Yes, because you know why? Because he should have got it at the end of last season. And
if Lamar Jackson was one MVP, it was in his contract year, the same time Dak Prescott was in his contract year, who you think would have got the money?
That is the blame of the city of Baltimore. And it's outstanding. General managership. You know, Lamar Jackson is who he is. He will never mature as an NFL quarterback.
Y'all got the game twisted. You think this man can't? Y'all tripping, man. He's out there running around with speed. As his one.
I'm gonna ask you a question. He can't read.
Listen,
Dak Prescott can read a defense better than Lamar Jackson.
Yes, he can.
When you got Amari Cooper who busting people's ass, he out there running around with Willie Steed.
I'm gonna say this. How many times did Lamar Jackson miss Marquise Brown last year?
Man, Marquise Brown is 5'11", 5'11", and 132 pounds soaking wet.
And wide open.
Not all the time.
Listen, Lamar Jackson is who he is. He was always a project. That's why he was passed over.
He never was a project. No,
He's a project. He's an MVP project.
He ain't no project. When you just listen, do you know he has a record that nobody's gonna match? 2 years in a row in college football. That's not no project. That's not a project.
Okay. Was he a professional when he did it?
We're talking about him as a quarterback. No, we're talking about him as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went tooth and nail with Deshaun Watson, who is a quarterback, right? Quarterback.
Did Deshaun Watson win the national championship? Yes or no?
He did. And guess what? Lamar Jackson put this ball on somebody's chest, right in his hands, and he dropped.
Are you ready for this? He was at a Division II level in a Division I school at Louisville. What are you talking about, Coach?
I understand
what you're talking about, bro.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? They went to bowl games under this dude. What you talking about?
Okay, bowl games, were they in the national championship series?
No.
Where was he picked when he came in the NFL? He just made the first round.
Egregiously last in the first round.
Okay. And he won.
You want to talk about racism? Here it go again. Pull it out.
Here we go.
Like Josh Rosen went before him. Let's talk about Josh Rosen. A lot of nuts that went before Lamar Jackson. Knock it off.
Okay. Lamar Jackson was run first.
I'm going to sit there and tell you
because he was a run first quarterback and a pass second. And his body of work, even in his MVP year,
I guarantee
was
you
run.
That.
How many great runs? He wasn't even Cam Newton.
If Lamar Jackson was on the market right now, Dak Prescott on the market right now, I guarantee you, any NFL team taking Lamar Jackson over Dak Prescott.
Who are they paying the money to?
I bet that Dak Prescott gets signed before Lamar Jackson. Anything.
Man, this Dallas Cowboys show is egregious, man. Like, y'all ain't won a goddamn – y'all won four goddamn games last year, and y'all sitting here talking about that Wack Prescott. I don't want to hear his name right now.
I don't think that Uptown Deuce has been very quiet, and I'm going to say this to you, you know, the great, you know, Uptown, you know, Deuce, and all the things that you do for this network. You know, your silence right now – disturbs.
It's gold.
Now, Uptown and the wonderful Automatic Charismatic. Let me just say this. Dak Prescott deserved that contract. We talked about this on this Huddle Sports Nation a year ago. And Coach said it was totally, in his own words, egregious that they did not pay Dak before they paid Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott got that money, and he didn't give a damn about nothing else after that money. Dak Prescott is the leader of the Dallas Cowboys. He will be greater this year than he was last year. And I'm not a Cowboys fan, okay? And up, you know, Uptown, understand this, right? I always talk real, you know what I mean, about the Cowboys. But Dak Prescott, being the person that he is, and being an upstanding citizen and doing the right things and helping people in the Dallas area, all is karma. And he deserves everything that he gets. That's great. And why are we talking for the last 27 minutes about if Dak Prescott deserves the contract?
Did he deserve Mahomes' money? He deserved the contract. He got paid as a top five quarterback. Tell me why.
He got Mahomes' money.
Why not? Did he get the contract?
Answer the question. That was a good question. Did y'all hear the point?
Specific question. Not did he deserve a contract. Why did he get a contract akin to the top one or two quarterback in the NFL? That's what I asked. I have yet to hear an answer to that. I got to hear because he's black, because he deserved it, because he gave it to St. Jude, because it is, because he was a short passer like Bobby Lane. I have yet to hear a real answer on why this man getting Patrick Mahomes money and is yet to make the NFC Championship game. Please, somebody tell me.
Because of karma. This young man does for people, just like Only Dynasty does on a constant basis for Huddle Sports Nation. We do for people. And when you do for people and you change lives, sometimes it doesn't, you know, articulate to what, you know, what we say, you know, in sports. And like our brother, you know, Coach Gibson says all the time, when you give to your people, you deserve what you get. It is a microcosm of sports. Dak Prescott deserves every good thing that is given to him for what he does for the people, and not just on the field. So that's your answer to your question.
Okay,
bravo.
So he got.
We're gonna agree to disagree. For the ones that know about Marvin Hagler,
I'm gonna have to give a moment. Can we give a 10-round silence for Marvin Hagler, please?
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Rest in peace, Marvin Hagler. Let me tell you something, man. Marvin Hagler was all of it and all of it. I love Marvin Hagler as a boxer. He's actually one of my favorite boxers. Because he's not boxers. And he had something. He had dynamite in them gloves.
Yeah.
He had good defense. And, you know, he ain't ducked nobody.
No. He fought everybody.
He fought everybody.
I say one of the greatest fights I've ever seen was him versus Tommy Hitman Hearns. Versus Hitman Hearns.
It was a classic fight.
That was a match. Talking about one of the best matches I've seen. One of the best I ever seen. I was a kid. I think it was
85. That was one of the best fights ever.
I gotta go there. The best boxing match I ever saw in my life, I said this last week, was Wilfredo Benitez and Sugar Ray Leonard in 1979. You know, and in that situation. But we talk about Marvin Hagler and what he meant to boxing. And, you know, going through like, 39, to, you know, fights, without having, you know, a chance at the championship, and he was 39-0. You know, look at a person like that, and he finally did it his way, and got the championship. You know, Marvin Hagler was a man.
I was mad when he retired.
And imagine that he did the Jim Brown, he did the Barry Sanders. He did the Calvin Johnson, you know, not liking football to boxing. But he was able to say, after the Leonard fight, I'm tired. I'm not doing this anymore. And I've been through, remember now, it took him that long to get to that pinnacle and never lose until he fought Sugar Ray Leonard, and he thought it was egregious, right, Coach? He said, you know what, I'm through with it, and lived his best life. You know, this man moved to Italy and learned the Italian language and lived wonderfully until the situation where he died.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing. We got to call up. We got to call the line. We keep our automatic hazmatic on air and, of course, Uptown Deuce and Coach. Carla, you've been so patient. Welcome to Huddle Sports Nation.
Hey.
Speak up.
What's up, guys? Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, this is Uptown G, right? Uptown Deuce, younger brother. When I tell y'all mm-hmm. wasted 27 of my minutes talking about Dak Prescott. Now let's get the hell mm-hmm. off football. Let's just get away from that because y'all really wasted 28 minutes of my life right there. And y'all giving to somebody to get a St. Jude and do all this. Like LeBron James get $1 billion and he got his own school and he's paying for kids to go to college by his damn self. So miss me with all that cool stuff. So let's talk about something else because y'all really wasted the hell out of my time with that. So let's talk about something, too.
Hold on, J-Rod.
It's not. We're not going to do that because what he does for St. Jude is amazing. And there are children that are being healed right now from that. So we're not going to do that. So go ahead with your comment.
So when LeBron James goes...
No. You made your point. I said that we're not going to disrespect what Dak Prescott does for St. Jude and the children that are trying to heal from cancer. Your point.
Okay. All right. So this is my question I had for last week since I wanted to talk to my brother and him about this. Just give me y'all input. So LeBron James has been to what, 17 All-Star games or something like that?
Yeah.
Do you guys think that they should do something where though you get a cap on All-Star games so younger guys can come in? LeBron James played, what, 7 minutes? Do we really care to see LeBron James even play in that game? Like, should it be a cap?
So
like,
I got you.
It got to be a certain amount of games
maybe like,
because a dude
maybe
like
you're an honorary member, but somebody maybe you get selected, but somebody else get to play.
Yeah, because I feel like how long ago are we going to keep saying LeBron James going to make it next year, right? And then he'll make it next year after that if he chooses to play, right? But it's taken away from Dame Lillard, who keeps getting gassed, Devin Booker, who gets gassed every year.
Tobias got gassed this year.
I don't think Ben Simmons should have been it. I think it should have been Tobias. My personal opinion.
Hold on. I love what Jay Rock just said. Jay Rock, man, now we back. You back on my team. I told these two guys right here on the Huddle Sports Nation. You know, when the season started, I told them that Tobias Harris will make a difference for this ball club. They laughed me off of the radio. Bye.
I can suck when I'm wrong, and I was wrong about Tobias.
I thought Tobias Harris was a blouse fish sandwich, hold the mayo.
remember, Tobias played good years ago with Doc Rivers. This is why he got the money, for real.
You're right.
So I figured this is the reason why he was able to – Doc Rivers knows him. So he's going to put him in position to play that game that you play. Like I always say, Ben's the third option on his team. Ben's the third option no matter what.
Because me and Duke, this boy be balling, and he become, now he got closer. I ain't got – you ain't got one bad word. Except for one thing that they missing, J-Rock, and you know it. What are they missing? Don't say scoring.
They need
another ball handler, J-Rock. It's too many unforced turnovers that keep people around with them.
True. But they need to get.
You know what I'm saying? They need another scoring punch, and they got D. But look, did you watch Seth Curry? He's probably one of the worst passers I've ever seen as a guard.
He's a career bench player. So let's just – he is what he is, and we're putting him in a position to be bad. We're putting him in a position that he's not comfortable with. He's comfortable playing with the second squad. Imagine him, Dwight Howard coming off the bench.
On the second bench. Right. No, listen, you got no argument. I just see the flaw. The unforced turnovers.
Who can the Sixers get right now to handle the Rock?
Who can they get? Kyle Lowry or Victor Oladipo?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
You ready for this?
Ding.
What are you gonna give Toronto and Indiana for that?
Well, Victor Oladipo
I don't
want
to have to give up.
Houston. Wait, hold on. Oladipo played for Houston, who just lost 18 straight. So he already.
Oh, you know what that? He did get traded. That's right. That's correct. Okay.
And then he turned down a 2-year, $45 million extension to go to stay with Houston. So you can give Mike Scott. You can give you can give the boy Maxey. And you can give some future draft pick. Who gives a rat? You know what I mean? Who cares?
They're going to want
Danny Green or somebody.
Or they're going to want Feivel. And I don't think the Sixers can get rid of Feivel. Feivel can be a game changer.
And that's
the
key. So it's like what I said was, you know, who they're going to give for that. I think the Sixers should stand pat, okay? You can always find a person that can, you know, dribble the ball and all that, you know, to be a point guard. But however, here's the situation. You know, tonight, they did their job tonight with Sacramento, like they're supposed to do. Tobias Harris was the star. You know, right, J-Rock? And, you know, and they still won. They would have beat Milwaukee if they wasn't tired. The Sixers had a six-game winning streak. You know what I mean? Well, not only had turnovers. No, of course, turnovers is because of fatigue. And they got themselves together because, listen, you got the coach of the year. Listen, anybody talk about, you know, Brad Stevens in Boston? Boston is garbage. Now you look at, you know, what is really the real coach of this league. Doc Rivers has come to Philadelphia and earned every single penny of his contract. He's allowed Shake Milton, really, and I think Shake Milton is being overlooked as Sixth Man of the Year. Because Shake come in there and do his thing, and it's amazing. Because it's all about a mindset. And that's what Doc, listen, this team is hurt. You got, you know, MVP candidate, you know what I mean, still convalescing. You got Seth Curry with the, you know, the ankle injury and all that. And we know that Seth is not what you want in a point guard. He's not his brother. But he doesn't, you know, he's still a professional and beyond a professional. So you can be a professional and be on the bench. Seth, you know, I'm not going to let people just talk shit about, you know, Steph Curry. You know, when he's on. And he's on the court, you know, that's a guaranteed 10 points. So this league is different now. It's not the Isaiah and the Magic, you know, type league, you know, where you have that point guard that's going to lead, Mo Cheeks and all that. You know what I mean? It's a hybrid league. So when you have an opportunity to just let your team be and try to figure out who can bring the ball up, you have a 6'10 guard in a forward body in Ben Simmons.
That's still standing around game after he gives the ball up. He burns me with that.
Well, I mean, I know how much you hate Ben Simmons. I get it, Coach. I mean, I get it. But however,
I love Ben. No, I don't hate Ben.
But what I'm saying is that this team is the epitome of what the NBA has become, a bitchified league, okay? And it is what it is. There's no true point guards. Damon Lillard.
Well, no,
amazing.
It's still one. It's one.
He ain't better than Steph Curry.
That's a true point guard. That's a true point guard in Phoenix. That's a true point guard. That's a true.
Don't
yeah,
get it.
Chris,
I get Chris,
point
Chris
guard.
Paul, but Chris Paul, how old is Chris Paul, J. Rock?
He's well in his thirties.
Right.
He's still balling.
No. I'm not trying to put J. Rock out there. That's not the reason why I asked that question. You know, Chris Paul is a old school point guard. You don't find that too much in this league anymore. I was talking about this today, that we were so spoiled to see great basketball. Am I right, guys? So spoiled.
We were
a real
point
guard.
We still see it now.
But not like we used to. You know, so you look at Chris Paul. Yeah, he pulled that out the hat, and that was good, and I appreciate that. But Kyrie Irving. Is a point guard, right?
Mm-mm.
Am I right?
Yeah, but he's not.
Am I right? Yeah. Okay. So you know, he dribbles, drives, all that. You know what I mean? So Brooklyn, what can we do with Brooklyn? You know, Brooklyn doesn't have a true bench, and I still say they're going to be a problem, but a problem is able to be figured out. The 76ers are the team that can figure out Brooklyn. Unless the league looks at money.
Not going without
look at stars.
Once again, word to Mel from Scarface. Let's not go too far, Tony.
Let me tell you something. It's only one Ben Simmons who can play defense and only one Feigl. It's three scorers on that team. Three real scorers.
And they'll give it to you however you want it. They'll give it three real scorers. They'll give you omelets, scrambled eggs, poached eggs. However you want your egg, you're going to get it.
So, my question is, so you guys at the sports, you know, wonderful nation tonight.
I'm so impressed.
It's going to give it to Brooklyn. It's going to be Brooklyn and L.A., right? That's what you want?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the Sixers got a dog in that fight. I'm just saying that this boy Harden, I don't know what y'all been watching. This boy Harden is amazing out there, man.
Hello.
He's always been amazing,
he's,
man.
It's getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous for Harden. Like, this act is not an act. Dude, man, can really fall.
We know that.
Harden ain't no nut.
We already know that, Coach.
So my thing is, you need, for the Sixers to win, you need Embiid to score 40 every night.
Yeah. Against them.
At least. Let's be reasonable.
Points been given out.
Yeah.
Let's be reasonable.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
What's your reasonable?
We need 30. Now,
wait for you. Let me talk.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Coach. It's your show.
Okay, Ben can't be against them. Ben cannot have 14 points. That game, that low triple double is gonna get them beat. They're going home in six.
Who is moving around? Stop moving. Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm gonna finish right
25.
Now.
We, that's the problem.
We're talking about being reasonable. If Embiid averaged 36 points in a playoff against Brooklyn, and the Sixers play what they need to play and be coached, they can beat Brooklyn. You don't need 40 every night.
And that's what him scoring. If 36 is his average, he's going to have to get 40 a couple of nights to get 36 as an average, because they're going to play seven games. So he's going to need a game where he gets 40, right?
You're right.
Correct.
Hold on a second, guys. Okay, let's try to find out what that was. Okay, his situation. The Sixers have to play, you know, that 94-95 Houston Rockets type game, to where they just overpower and overwhelm, you know, their opponent. Brooklyn, like you said, J-Rock, had three outstanding scorers. But let me explain something to you, Mr. J-Rock. Kevin Durant will not be around. He's damaged goods.
You're out of your mind.
Is he playing now?
Here we go with the formaldehyde again.
Kevin Durant playing right now. He's one drive from playing his Achilles again.
And Embiid is one dunk from messing up his knee again. So, but go ahead, keep going.
Not necessarily, brother. Embiid is going
to
be strong for the playoffs.
Falling around on the ground.
I got what you're saying. Okay. So, touche. If Kevin Durant is not healthy, Brooklyn doesn't win. I don't care what Harden's doing out there. You know what I mean? Iron Man. He on his Tony Starks. Okay, I get you, or whatever. But without Kevin Durant, Brooklyn doesn't win. And we all know that without Joel Embiid, the Sixers don't go nowhere. So now it's all about wait and see, right, guys?
No, I'm about to say, because if we're talking about right now, I've just seen James Harden beat the Indiana Pacers by himself with a 40-point triple-double.
You ready for this? But he beat who?
Indiana Pacers.
Is Indiana in the conversation? That's a regular season game that he's supposed to perform, right?
Okay, so is Sacramento in the conversation?
Sacramento is almost underneath your shoe, sir.
They did it without Embiid.
The Sixers did it without Embiid, right? Your next question.
And and they lost to Milwaukee without Embiid.
Okay, but did they have a 19-point lead without Embiid?
Did they lose a 19-point lead without Embiid?
Yes, but my point is that Embiid was on the floor. So would they have lost that without with Embiid on the floor? No. You know that. So what's your argument?
We don't know that.
So we do know that.
No, Coach, you're full of shit. I'm talking to J-Rock. J-Rock.
But you're saying
that. Stop playing with me, J-Rock. Come on, man. Huh?
You're saying the same thing as saying it's like if Kevin Durant. That's like saying if Kevin Durant was on the floor,
Kevin,
they would have won more games.
Kevin Durant is not the same Kevin Durant. Yes, when he's on the court, he makes a difference.
Oh,
but however, will he be on the court? Plus, I know Embiid be there.
Embiid.
We'll see what Kevin.
And so with Durant.
We'll see.
What you mean?
We'll see.
You know what's
going to
happen. Like, there is no
way. No, we'll see. You don't know me. You don't know me to say that. You're not in my mind, bro. I said, we'll see.
Let me tell you something.
What you talking about, bro? Yes, stop playing with me, man. Don't do that. Don't get my mind. I said my opinion. I said, we'll see.
I'm telling you that
you're talking about, bro.
You think Durantula is a killer. And you think that Durantula is going to play games when it's the playoff game? It's going to be all
man. You know what? Coach, take your poster off the wall, bro. I said, we'll see. Damn,
so
man, you're like 16.
So if everybody's
acting like I know that Kevin Durant is like the top two player in the league, bar none.
Did you say that? J-Rock, please talk to me, man. I love Coach, man. He tripping. Go ahead.
So if everybody plays
who better than
in
Durant?
The playoffs, you think that the Sixers have a chance to beat Brooklyn because Embiid going to get 36 a night and they have to run the perfect defense?
I think it's all about coaching. I really do believe that. It's all about position. And making your players believe that listen, coaching always works in NBA annals. And if you have your players believe that they're better than the team that they're playing, I just gave you the synopsis. I said the 1994 and 95 Houston Rockets.
And who did they play in the championship? Was that Orlando?
Atlanta had a great team, Let's go back to game one. They were young.
No, wait. Before you break it all down, was that against Orlando?
I'm not doing all that. I'm not listening to what you guys say. Go ahead.
I was against a young Kenny, and also it was Mike Jordan in this league. It was when they kicked Mike out.
No, they beat Michael Jordan coming back. Go ahead now. What's your point?
So that was a young Shaq. That was a young Shaq and all that. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I was right where you're talking about.
Yeah, you were
definitely
right.
I can't go back to 95 right now. It's 2021. I'm just sorry.
But the NBA annals always show that a team can always overachieve to win a championship. There's been times that that happened. The Sixers had to open. Your answer to your question, young man, is that the Sixers have to overachieve. The Sixers have to overachieve to get to that.
Like when Balco boy cried to Adam Silver to get Draymond Green kicked out for Game 5. Yeah, that's overachieving.
Okay, but guess what? They won the championship nonetheless, huh?
They fancy rough on me. I'm about to lose my legacy.
That's what the Hell Sports Nation is all about, man. Which is your opinion? But they won the championship nonetheless, right?
Man, pivotal game 5.
Falco boy crying
because he knew he was going home.
Okay, let's go to game 6 and game 7 of 18. You know, when the Clippers had a 3-2 lead, right? And then all of a sudden Chris Paul gets hurt, right? Good job, J-Rod, bringing up Chris Paul. Right?
Yeah,
right?
He hurt.
Same shit, coach.
So do you think that the you're telling me that that the Sixers have to overachieve to beat the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, you know what? It's all about coaching. It's all about coaching.
So you
coaching.
So
they gotta believe in their talent. They're all professionals.
So if Brooklyn goes over and wins this game, we're not going to just say that it was all about coaching, right? If Ben Simmons has a game where he scores 0 or 1 point, we're not going to blame coaching, right?
Well, then, you know what, though? It's all about, you know, following coaching.
Okay.
It's all about following. Everyone has talent. Everyone has talent, right? But it's all about believing
lay
in.
Off my young boy, man. Lay off me.
I am trying to answer J-Rock's question. J-Rock, it's all about coaching. It's all about them following the plan. They got to follow the plan like great teams that don't have a chance when it comes down to the marketing. First of all, you got three players that will have people watch TV. So how do you overcome that? You got to be the best you ever been. You brought Ben Simmons on, you got zero. Okay, you're a hater, coach.
Well, hey, man.
My point is that if the Sixers play their best basketball with coaching and understand their position, hey, J-Rock, yeah, they beat Brooklyn's ass. That's my answer. Any more questions?
Okay. Yeah, you're living in a fantasy world because they ain't going to play perfect seven games. And then Steve Nash is going to be a great coach because he beat what's his name? Tyronn Lue ain't do shit as a good coach. Yeah, LeBron James. So that coaching thing sometimes kind of goes over my head a little bit. Just sometimes.
And that's why this is a nation and our own opinion. I appreciate you.
Because I don't see how it's going to happen.
I appreciate you. I stand by it.
I'm not on the fence with the coaching, but the coaching does play a part, though. It does. Because...
No, give me a second. Don't. I don't want to hear that shit, man. You heard your boy that you just... Oh, J-Rock, you the man.
I just told J-Rock to lay off my boy, man. He's hard on Ben, man.
Oh, Ben, listen, man. J-Rock said what he said. I love the man for it. But guess what? It will change my thing. And I said what I said. And J-Rock, we'll see each other in Philadelphia if anything happens, man. And if Philly beats Brooklyn, you owe me lunch, bro.
No, that's no problem. Everybody got Cash App now.
We ain't talking about Cash App. We talking about seeing you face to face. I will buy you lunch if Brooklyn beats Philly. Man, fuck Cash App, bro. And that's why I said, see me in person, bro. You men. Fuck Cash App. See me on the street, and I'll buy you lunch. See me on the street. And I'll buy you lunch, man. Fuck technology.
For sure.
How about that? We men, J-Rock?
No matter how.
All right, then, man. We'll go to Cash App shit. We will see each other like old school men, and I say that Philly beats Brooklyn. How about that? You say Brooklyn beats Philly.
Okay.
Hey, coach, man, get back to your show, bro. I'm out this bitch.
Okay. So, what is your take on who's the contender and pretender in the NBA right now?
Who
do you think are pretenders and contenders?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. Pretenders, I think, is the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
They're looking good right now, but they're going to get bounced in the first round.
Okay.
On the East.
Okay. Are the Knicks pretenders?
I think pretenders. They're one-hit wonder. They Julius Randle, and that's about it. And then, I don't know on the West. I think the East is more pretenders than they are contenders.
I do.
Especially when it comes to like you just said, the Knicks, I think they're going to be out of here. If they even make it. Boston and lost
is
like
Golden
two or three
State
straight.
Contenders or contenders with Curry balling like he balling?
It's going to be their seed. They just don't want to be number one. They need to try to get up to the sixth seed. Yeah, you don't want to be one or you don't want to be 8, 7, or 8 because you got to play either LeBron or you want to play the Jazz. And right now, I don't really know if they want to see any of them right now. Even though LeBron got hurt today, so we'll see how.
Now,
they,
here's a question: is the Jazz contenders or contenders?
Depends on who they play first round. They might get bounced. They shoot a lot of threes. If they don't go in, it's a wrap.
Right. I got you.
It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. But like I said, I like Utah, and I wanted to tell the other dude, the CEO, dude, the boy, oh whatever, that I like Shake Miller to be number six, sixth man. But Jordan Clarkson gonna beat him out.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson balling. Where did he find his game at, J Rock?
Yeah, that
I'm trying to find out
ball.
Where him and Julius Randle found their game at. They must have been playing in the same gym.
Well, Julius Randle could
like, we about
play.
To get bounced out. We about to be journeymen in this league. We don't get it together. I'm seeing I'm seeing Randle shooting threes. I'm like, what the fuck, Randle?
Yeah,
I'm seeing
you know what's crazy about you with Randle though. He always had that potential. Injuries, man. And when you listen again, J Rock, to coaching and want to be better than what you were, i.e. Tobias Harris, you know, when Doc Rivers came to the Sixers, I knew that was going to be a great thing for Tobias. Because a lot of times it's not about being, you know, so-called push. It's about the psychological game. You know, Tobias, I go, come on, man. You know, I know what you've done. Huh, Coach? Come on, man. Let's get it together, man.
Is it coaching with the Pelicans?
The Pelicans, you know, are a different breed. You know, Zion Williamson will be out of the league, man. I just talked to a, you know, I'm glad J-Rock is on here. He is going to be the epitome of Larry Johnson. He's not going to be here long. At 6'7", trying to play like a big man, you know, his injury's going to happen. You know, first of all, Zion Williamson gets in there. You know, people say he has a high percentage. But how many people block his shots? Go to YouTube and find that out. He has more blocked shots than any front court man in the league. Because he has one option. It's his strength. He thinks he can beat anybody. That's the Pelicans' problem. Zion. And you brought up a good point. Coaching. Zion, stick to find out if you have a mid-range shot, sir. A fadeaway. That way, they know that you have a shot. And they'll know what you're going to do. And then all the dunks are easy. I.e., Ben Simmons. Once Ben Simmons understands, like, you know what? I don't have the speed anymore. Now I got to, you know, am I going to stay in this league? Right now, Ben still has the speed. If he develops a shot, it's a wrap.
I think Zion is like, I think he could be like a two-guard.
First of all, Zion Williamson is a clumsy bastard. Understand this. Stay in your lane as a forward and develop a mid-range shot, and his knees will be able to withstand an NBA career. Am I right, guys?
Knees. He might have to find a different move.
You know, and you kept with the Pelicans. And I'm going to be like J-Rock. We just wasted 8 minutes on the Pelicans. But listen, I say it like this. Utah's a fraud, yes. Listen, it's all about marketing. It's going to be the Lakers again.
Portland's always a fraud.
Yeah, but even Denver. No one will see the Nuggets. Listen, man. Look at the last championships and the body of work in season. No one's going to see Denver. It's going to be L.A. again. Now,
I don't
want to who's going to play L.A.? I know you don't. But
Listen, Falco Boy, I'm lining it up. I see what's about to go on with Falco Boy. Falco Boy is hanging around, so he could be the first. This will be a phenomenon, too, if it ever happens. So him and his son being in the league at the same time.
Okay, that might happen. Now, I'll say this, and I'm going to go see John.
That might happen.
They will, L.A. will be there because of the marketing. It's all about who gets the better marketing, Brooklyn or Philadelphia. That's as simple as that. And, of course, we want to thank all the folks that came on to Huddle Sports Nation tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll come back on with News Forum with Chinchilla Junicia, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time on these O&E stations, of course. Beverly Nixon's advertising the O&E, which is all deli and goes to the enterprise. Reach the course at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com as well as in Gozy Prime Time on that. Damon.com. We're in Gozy Time both on Twitter and Instagram. Ola deli and Gozy Entertainment and Google Plus. Ola deli and Malibu and Gozy at Facebook as well as our business page. Huddle Sports Nation as well as the Historic, Determined, and Motivated. Online Now Network established 2016. And any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, lay down and goes with my and gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dudley Malay Wingosi, saying good night, good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. Hello, up. It's Coach time.
All right, great show tonight, Deuce. You know, I'm going to pass the baton to you in the 4x4 like Flo Joe, so you can take us home tonight.
Actually, Deuce is gone.
Oh, so I'll take us home tonight. Thank you, Deuce, for your participation. J-Rock always is all love over here. My thoughts on what's going on with the NFL, like I said, man, we got to stand up, man. They just doing what they want to do to it. It's just like a microcosm of what's going on out here in real life. They just do what they want to do, and we just keep accepting getting punched in the mouth. All right? We got to do something to change the narrative in the NFL. They just do what they want, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Acts old, and you know what I mean? You know, just stop it. Congratulations to Dak for getting your money. You're still whack, Dak. And I'm out.